I don't think Kyra needs any introduction, so without any further ado, I give you Kyra Markins.
Good to be here with you guys. I know some of you I've known for a very long time, and some of you I've been able to meet this summer and gotten to know you a little bit. So I thought I would just start by briefly telling you about where I am in the world and the geography a bit, just to orient you if you haven't been here before or if I've just met you recently. So I'm going to start by talking a little bit about Romania and where I am, and then I will delve into a little bit what I am doing at the school. So I am in the capital city of Romania, Bucharest. It is in Eastern Europe by the Black Sea. So I thought I would give us a map because it's helpful. The other night we're pointing over here. So this is a few of the famous sites in the city itself. This is the Palace of Parliament, or the People's Palace, that was built by Nicolae Ceaușescu, who was the communist leader in the 60s through the 80s. And it is the heaviest government, it's the heaviest building in the world, the second largest government building, second to the Pentagon. So it's a massive building. It's hard to capture in pictures how big it is. And looking out from there, we have these fountains, also built by Ceaușescu in the 70s and 80s. He wanted from the parliament to have this view out into the city. So the central part of the city has lots of communist influence. You can see here all of the big concrete block buildings from that era. This is fun little cultural thing to look up on YouTube. Look up the moving apartments and churches in Bucharest. So when Ceaușescu was redesigning the city, a lot of things were destroyed. But in some cases, so that he could basically rebuild and change the structure of the city. They figured out how to move apartments on railroad tiles. So they would lay the tile in these massive block apartments. They would move to other parts of the city, often with people in them. So you can hear stories of people in the apartments while they moved them. You can look it up on YouTube. It's fascinating. This little church has been moved, again, to make space for that thoroughfare that he built, and it's now ensconced in between all these communist
buildings. I'm guessing they moved the church farther away from him, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, very Orthodox country, and most of the Orthodox church did kind of comply with what the communists wanted if they stayed open. So the church definitely, is now hidden in the midst of all these government buildings, but this is a fun little cultural tidbit. So these are the fountains that Ceaușescu put into place. They now, on the summer evenings, have a dancing fountain show with lots of music. People say that it's even a better show than Dubai. People who have seen both, it's really impressive. The backstory that tells you a little bit about Romanian culture and the infrastructure that maybe is still lacking is that apparently the water company owed the city billions of dollars. And so the water company didn't get shut down because that would be hugely problematic. They offered to do this show for free. So last year, instead of doing it just for the summer, they did it all the way up until Christmas because the water company owed a lot. So they apparently do some of these things as a way of paying off their debts to the city rather than actually paying off their debts. But anyway, it's a beautiful show. Some other famous sites. So there is, I mean, it's an old city in some places. You have the Romanian Athenaeum that looks more classical with the pillars, the opera house. You have a region known as Little Paris with this Arc de Triomphe donated from the French. This is a region, part of the old town, the city center that looks is known as Little Paris. And so you have a lot of different architecture styles and historical periods side by side. So much of the city looks like this concrete jungle, communist block buildings, but you have it right juxtaposed with these much older and much newer buildings now. Although most of the infrastructure is still what was built during communism, but there is some more modern architecture now. So these are some pictures of Old Town, this walking city center, which does look a little bit more Western European, the part that survived lots of wars. Some more just the different architecture styles you see interspersed throughout the city. So I don't know if you can see. So Bucharest is down here. The Danube River creates the boundary line between Bulgaria and Romania. And then coming through this like reverse out, almost an S shape, we have the Transylvania Mountains and the, so a couple hours by train gets you to the mountains. So some of the other famous sites, we have Bronn Castle, which is the inspiration for Dracula. This is known as Dracula's Castle. Another shot of that. We have this Pelesh Castle in Sanaa, which if you've ever seen Netflix's The Christmas Prince, that was filmed outside this castle, and then the inside part is filmed in a building in Bucharest. So it's all filmed in Romania. And then if you're familiar with Wednesday, the new Netflix spinoff of the Addams Family, it was filmed in this castle in Bustin. I actually had a student as an extra. I can point him out to you. There's not a lot of diversity outside of the city, and since he is African, they really wanted black faces in there. So he was an extra. So, but anyway, it's cool. So some movies have been set in the castles there. And so I am in the capital city of Bucharest at the secondary school. It is an international Christian school, ACSI accredited. If you were here last week when the Avery spoke, it is the same... same type of school. I'll talk about some of the distinctions in a minute, but my roommate my first year that I taught there had come from Dakar Academy. So if you heard them talk, there's a lot of connections there. We're both Teach Beyond schools now and that sort of thing. So here's a picture of a side angle from the school. And so this year and last year to an extent has been really wonderful to have the COVID restrictions lifted. The Romanian government initially, like I guess everywhere in the world, but especially I think in Eastern Europe, responded very strongly. They don't have the medical infrastructure in place necessarily to handle a pandemic, which I guess nowhere really did, but they had really strong restrictions in place that carried over. And so this past year was really the first year where we could be really open and have families at events and have sports teams again and go and play basketball. And so the next few slides just show you some of the things we were able to do in the last year and a half and really have a more regular year this past year, which was wonderful. Oh, I forgot about this slide. But it is an international school. You can see here the list of nationalities we currently have represented from all over the world. The largest demographic in the secondary school is Asian. We have a lot of Chinese, Koreans, Indians now. And I think it's because their passport is still fairly strong in Eastern Europe. So there's a mixture of families. The Asians would prefer their students be in an English school rather than Romanian. And so some of the Chinese parents are Christians. There is a Christian church in the same part of the, I mean a Chinese church in the same part of the city. So those families tend to come to the school. But there's also a number of Chinese families that are Buddhist with different backgrounds. They ask a lot of questions about our Bible classes. They're kind of tentative about having their students there. The Romanian demographic is usually more religious. They usually are already evangelical Christians or Protestants. They would distinguish themselves from the Orthodox usually, although not entirely. We do have some Orthodox teachers as well. We have some families that are there for business. We do have missionary kids, which the Avery's mentioned that their school actually preserves a certain percentage. I think their secondary school has to be something like 70% missionary kid, because that's what they're trying to maintain for the school culture, and of course it's a boarding school as well. Our school has actually drastically shifted in the last 25 years since it was founded. We have, in the last 2 years, we've officially partnered with Teach Beyond, which is the organization I am there through. And Teach Beyond has sort of talked and helped us think through this, because the demographic has shifted so much in international schools. You know, you do have people there doing business, even though they're also Christian. You know, they're there. Their primary purpose is not missionary. And then, of course, we have the local Romanians and the other demographics. And so missionary kids are much smaller percentage now than they used to be. And that's been some changes we have been making. So we have, you know, business, the kids of business families, the missionary kids, the Romanian, all mixed up. And then our newest demographic that obviously I think has been introduced in the last year and a half has been Ukrainians, refugees, and I will talk about them in just a second. So that's just a little bit about the school. Some of this year's graduates, you can see the diversity. We have Kenyan, Korean, Ukrainian, Romanian, Chinese, Romanian, and Brazilian. So that's just a little snapshot of the students. And then some of the things that we have been able to do. The secondary retreat, I think we could actually do it even during COVID. We might have missed 1 year when we were online, but really great for these kids in a big city to get out in the mountains. We've got a ropes course. They do a lot of team building activities. We have chapels and play basketball and flag football. This is me on the Pampers pole. You're supposed to go stand up on the top and then fall, but I think that's about as high as I got. I was like, I'm going to let go. Are you ready? So this is something we've been able to do more of, and it is a really fun time. We do this in September when the kids are just coming back. The new students are getting integrated in, and so we go to the mountains for 2.5 days and do all sorts of fun outdoor activities in groups that mix them up. And so that's fun. Culture Fest is fun. Lots of different foods. They do dances and things from their own cultures. The Spanish classes do something. And so you can see here, we've got some Ukrainians and Romanians eating Chinese food, and we've got lots of fun things. Oh, this is a little missionary kid eating Romanian jelly donuts, papanash. They're very tasty. Fried donuts with, I think they put jelly and sour cream on top. So he's ready for it. He's learned the Romanian dessert. So we were able to have drama performances. We had a Christmas carol and the importance of being earnest this year. And again, could welcome people in into the school for those. At Christmas, we take gift packages to the neighbors and we carol some with some of them. And they really get into that because we'll sing Christmas carols. We'll always do Feliz Navidad in Spanish, English, and Romanian, and they love it. They take out their cameras and film us, which is not EU acceptable since they're minors. But they love to hear us sing in different languages. They really like the English, but we'll sing some in Romanian and then always a little bit in Spanish too. And so we've got the chapel band here, I think, at the Christmas program, and some of the different groups here. Again, we've had a basketball team. We were able to start doing that again this year, make some connections in the community through that. I think a nice team building for them. We do have International Day of Prayer as part of our chapel. And actually, for the last 2 or 3 years, we had to keep the students in such strict groups that it was really fun to have like an International Day of Prayer with secondary and primary students together. You can see here we could mix the groups up and actually do things that you would expect to do at school. So we could have we had a STEM fair, a science and math, engineering and technology fair, chapel again. I was actually looking for pictures of the flags all in the activity room more than anything else. I was looking for the pictures with the flags. So you can kind of see the daily life of the school. Here I taught a yearbook class. You can see we're learning about aperture. It's really not my thing, but I did it. I taught pre-algebra.
That's not your thing either.
No, not my thing.
It looks like he's showing you how to do it. Is that what's happening?
I think he's showing me the picture he just took. This kid, he would be showing me how the camera works, this kid. So what I wanted to talk about too, briefly, because this has been a big deal in the last year, is, you know, how the school and has been affected, the church I'm involved in has been affected by what's going on in Ukraine. So did I put a map again? Yes. So you can see Romania borders Ukraine in two places. So people from the southeast, like Odessa, obviously the closest border here is Romania, and then they really flooded into Bucharest. Many of them come through Moldova as well, and then of course there's the northern border. Moldova's not in the EU or NATO or any of that, so usually even if they go into Moldova, their ultimate goal is to get into Romania if they can. And so because of that, just because of the proximity to Ukraine, we received a lot of refugees initially in very vulnerable situations. You know, they fled with nothing in most cases. Because Romania's economy is not as strong as maybe like Hungary and Poland, I'm going to say that in a second.
And Ukraine was highly Christianized.
Highly Christianized and
probably
much
the most Christianized. Christianized country
so
in the area.
We had the Goncharovs, Ukrainian couple, a couple weeks ago. I think it's by far the most Christian country in the region.
Hence them being
far.
Attacked by.
By far, yes. And wealthy too. So the refugees, I think, that had options, maybe that weren't fleeing with nothing, did, generally speaking, try to go to more established economies than Romania. But we did receive a number, typically the ones that maybe were a little bit more needy. So, this I thought was funny when I was thinking about saying this. One of my Romanian acquaintances I don't know very well posted this. Be careful who you help. And he's... Right, as he's getting help, he's kicking him over. This is a very Romanian mentality. Protect yourself. Don't trust your neighbors. They can hear through the walls. They will spy on you, right? And protect yourself at all costs. They're very relational in the sense that they'll forget about a meeting or a deadline or what time it is while they are talking to you. But it's surface level, right? So they're ultimately protecting themselves. So I give you that context to say that this is naturally their default. But when the Ukrainian war started, I think it struck a deep, deep chord. And people mobilized, they worked together, they created organizations, they opened their apartments, they opened their churches, they opened their businesses. I know businesses that had refugees sleeping on the floor, and they... drove to the border with tons of stuff. I think I had some pictures that I forgot to include of some of the groups that mobilized, but they went to the border with blankets. It was freezing cold at the border, and people were waiting for 24 hours. Blankets, food, they set up places. They drove packed full of cars full of supplies and then drove back with refugees, and it was an incredible time watching the international churches mobilize, watching the Romanian churches. I had a woman and her mother stay in my apartment for 6 to 8 weeks with my roommate and me, and we just ended up accepting a number of Ukrainian students at the school as well. So I took a snapshot of some of those here, so this has been sort of the ongoing thing as we've settled into this as the new normal. We have Ukrainian families. We have some new families coming this next year who have either done online school in Ukraine or had a mix. Some of them are a grade back because the last year has been piecemeal. Like I tested a student who was incredibly smart. He should be going into 11th grade, but we have to place him in 10th because he doesn't actually have credits on his transcript. And his parents aren't pushing for anything other than that, but I tested him. I'm like, oh my goodness, like he'd be really smart in the 11th grade class, but he doesn't have the credits because for the last year they've been moving and in unstable situations and not consistent with online school or not had the option. So this is a little kind of a newer demographic. I put a picture of her here because it's interesting. I think because there is such a Chinese community in Bucharest, there was actually an influx of Chinese refugees from Ukraine that came, and the church in Bucharest welcomed them. And in fact, some of them are still living in the church basement. And this is one of those girls, and so she's like the subtle, quiet, most valuable person because she speaks Russian, Ukrainian, Chinese, and English. And so the number of times, you know, I had some of these new Ukrainians that didn't speak English at all, they all speak Russian, I'd say, help! And then, and then the ones that also are Chinese, so... She has younger siblings and cousins in the primary school, and her English has come a long way in a year. She was always understandable, But she's just really, really helpful because she speaks all, hits all the languages that we need most. So sometimes the younger kids and their parents need help, and we call on the older Chinese students. So we're grateful for anybody that can bridge those gaps. Russian and Ukrainian in English and Chinese in English, both of those are invaluable. So that's just a little bit about what I'm doing there, and then I do have my card here. So yeah, that's basically a little overview of the school I'm at and what the last couple of years have looked like. And so I'm going back for my fifth year, and I am excited because I think last year was a year of rebuilding, responding to things like the war, and I think we've sort of found a new normal now after COVID. If you get my email updates, I'm happy to add you to the list. If you don't, I mentioned something that was really fun for me personally, in that two students that I taught in Lynchburg who were high school sweethearts and have married now came this past year and taught with me. So I was teaching with former students, and they're coming back this year, and he's actually the one that led the drama and did a wonderful job with that, and then his wife teaches K-5. And so they've been a wonderful asset at the school, and so really had a wonderful time of rebuilding. It was just really hard to get people there during COVID because it was really hard to move and that sort of thing. And so I'm looking forward to a new year and kind of the new normal that we have established and the patterns we were able to build up this past year. So it's been good. It's a beautiful country. And so if you have any questions, I can answer them.
I know you do administration in addition to teaching. What do you primarily do as an administrator?
So I'm secondary principal, and so my least favorite thing is that the discipline issues come to me. So sometimes I have to put my foot down and respond to things that are always fun with teenagers. I also do in collaboration with the director, I interview and hire new staff, and then I do the scheduling, and so that is interesting because some of the students that have been there since primary school are just incredibly bright, and then I have students that, you know, just came from Ukraine and know 10 English words. And so accommodating that, you know, we have separate ELL classes, but there are some things like math and science where they are in the same classroom, and then at some point they are in the same English classrooms, even though the ELL students are getting additional support. So there can be always this is the case, but I think it's a little bit magnified, and maybe especially now. There's just a lot of levels in every classroom. So seeing what is possible with the schedule to accommodate the needs and still give them what they need most. And the other interesting thing that I'm really involved in, oh, you know what? There's several pictures that didn't get in here because that's what student council that we've been able to do, again, more of their activities. But I lost my train of thought. The
administrator discipline.
Yeah, what was I going to say in the last
Scheduled.
Oh, come back to me. Scheduling, university applications. So our, some of them come to the West. My first year, most of the graduates actually were heading to the U.S. So that was a nice stepping stone because I knew how to use Common App and what international universities were looking for. And that's actually the easiest because our transcript is accredited by two American accreditors. It's quickly recognized. Students that go to the U.K., you know, you're dealing with visa questions. We have a lot of more students now looking elsewhere in Europe. It's remarkably cheaper. It's not even on the same scale to go to university in Europe. And so I had a student go to Germany and Finland this past year, and each of them have their entirely different systems. Finland is especially unique, and on top of that, it was this brand new program they were piloting. I've had students go back to China. The valedictorian this year is going back to Korea, a prestigious school there, which I didn't realize how prestigious until Mike Chen told me. But, you know, that's really important for Koreans. They know exactly what tier each school falls into. But So students with all different passports going to all different universities, that has been an education for me, how the different processes work and what they each need. So If you think we have bureaucracy here, we haven't worked with South Korea, because they will ask for 10 print and stamped and signed copies of every single document. And this kid needed all of his extracurriculars printed and stamped on a separate paper, so he participated in drama, he participated in student council, 10 copies of each thing. And they want to see like a billion extracurriculars, so it was like, here's your extracurricular, and you're gonna mail this? So really funny, the paperwork involved and the difference. So that is interesting too, walking them through the college application process. And we do have a woman from the U.S. who has served as a guidance counselor who just moved to Bucharest in January. So this past semester, she became involved, and we'll do more of that this upcoming year. So that's exciting, too. Someone that can be a little bit more devoted to some of that research and things like that. So anyway, God has really brought people that has been a blessing. We do have teachers from all over, too. So that list of nationalities is also reflected in... That was a list of students, but the staff is just as diverse. So that's fun. It brings its challenges, very different perspectives and responses to some of the same issues sometimes, but it also, I think, is a strength because people from different backgrounds bring very different strengths to the classroom, and we can learn a lot from each other. So it is a very international community, which has been wonderful and taught me a lot. So, yes?
You're much. You mentioned you have a lot of Buddhist families.
Yeah.
What is their response when they obviously know this is a Christian school.
Yeah, how are they at a Christian school?
And what is the...
Do they
come in and say, we want math, but we don't want chapel?
Come in and say that, but it's not an option. But traditionally we had, 10 or 15 years ago, we did would watch the percentages, right? So that they're the Averys were talking about, because you want a particular culture and you are maybe targeting particular students. But for one thing, in where we're located, there isn't a real risk in that becoming the dominant demographic, because again, a lot of the Chinese that actually pull those others in are Christians, right? The Chinese Christian church is very involved and very involved with the school.
But they don't mind you in literature
class isn't the issue. So for example, there was a new Chinese family that was applying this past school year, and the mom just kept looking at the schedule and kept asking us if they had to take the Bible classes. She really wanted her daughter there, but that she kept pushing back and asking about that. And then finally, they did register. They did decide they would do it. So there is a pushback. There are some, as they get older, some of the 11th and 12th grade students I've had that have come from Buddhist backgrounds, they do ask really insightful questions. I don't exactly know how the conversations go at home, because when you're working with older teenagers, I don't know. But some of them have openly become Christians, or some that just ask a lot of questions. There was a girl who was actually Romanian whose parents are openly atheist, which is not the typical demographic, who openly became a Christian and was reading her Bible at home, and her parents didn't like it. They came and talked to the teacher. So it does sometimes create issues, but the thing is, when they sign up, this is going to be their class schedule. We have chapel once a week. We talk about Bible classes. We do worldview classes. We, read texts of other major religions, but it's always, the conversations are always going to be guided by a Christian teacher who believes in the absolute truth and that sort of thing. So, I mean, yes, there's pushback, but that's just, it's in our handbook that's a graduation requirement. I mean, we're ACSI accredited. We're also Middle States accredited. I mean, we do have the secular accreditation, but we're going to openly be a Christian. It's in the name. So this is what they're getting when they sign up. So, but yes, that is something that individual families do work through, and in the cases it either isn't as big of a deal for them, or the English just outweighs the Christian.
So it's fair to say you're not only training Christians, you are a mission field in the truest sense of the word, that you are evangelizing non-Christians.
Right. Yes, absolutely. In the sense that it's not like the ultimate goal is to introduce them to absolute truth and to teach the subjects well. But yes, certainly in any conversations, And in any conversations about absolute truth and about the Bible, we're going to be evangelizing in the sense that, yes, they're not Christian. And a lot of the ones that come from Christian families have no idea what they believe and are asking questions too. So, you know, it's a hard time to be a
Christian. How is creation dealt with?
So, yes. So, we've had science teachers with really different point of views. The textbooks actually are secular textbooks. And then what happens is the students do reports and read a lot, and the teacher doesn't actually explicitly say. So we encourage them to really delve into the text for themselves and to answer those questions for themselves. So, yeah. Because again, we have families from all different backgrounds that we respect and a lot of different beliefs on that. And so it's just one of those things where the school doesn't officially take a position and the teacher doesn't officially take a position. So.
You have debates on it?
I'm sure that they have debates on it because these kids debate everything just for the fun of it. You have no idea what they actually think. They're just enjoying the argument, which is awesome. So, yes.
So what's your favorite thing about what you do and what keeps you going back?
I really like the classroom. I like some of the administrative parts more than others, but it's taught me a lot. I mean, it's really fun to teach students from such different backgrounds, and especially literature, I think, you know, because, you know, everyone brings their own background and experiences anyway, but when you have so many different voices in the classroom, it's just really fun to have those conversations, and I really do love the kids and their communities, and then the community, and yeah, it's just taught me a lot, and it sort of seemed like every year was really like a nice building block. The next year looked exciting because we got through COVID. We're actually going to be back in person, and now we can do more. And so it sort of almost felt like a lot of rebuilding has happened since I've been there. Yeah, certainly as far as teachers go and the longevity of teachers, the last 5 years we've had a lot more teachers committed long term. So it's just as far as the health and stability of the school, it just seems like it's in a good place, and I really like the community a lot. So, and it's a nice place to live, just as far as the fact that Romanians learn English when they're this size, you know, and so especially in the big city, it's an easy city to get around in as an expat. Because it's a European city and it's a big city, there's a lot of things that I can find if I need them, but it isn't like Western Europe where they pretend they don't speak English. You know, they actually want to speak English with you. And so it's just an easy city as far as it practically. It isn't like Western Europe. They have a long way to go. But practically, it's a pretty easy city to live in as an expat. You can get around easily. You can communicate. I try to speak Romanian. I read a little bit more than I can speak. But they just immediately want to speak English, you know, and so most of the time, like, wait, I was really doing fine. But, you know, they're much more, they're not used to hearing their language spoken by foreigners. They're used to just switching. Like, we're used to hearing accents. They're like, they don't hear foreigners speak, you know, they switch to English so quickly that it's just, you know, that's just the way it works, unfortunately, for English speakers. But it's a nice place to be. So, and I love being so close to the mountains and hiking. I like having the big city, but having a easy train access to hiking, and the Transylvania mountains are beautiful. And it took me until this past spring, I think, to finally get to Dracula's castle because it's not on the train line. So I've been the places that you can get to easily by train. So there's a lot to see and a lot to do. So, yeah.
I just wondered, what's your social life?
What did you ask?
What's your social life?
So I do a lot of hiking. So the International Church is very diverse as well. And so often we plan hikes, usually day trips. I have a friend that lives in Brasov, which is a little mountain city. So if there's a longer school break and we can go visit her. It's a very much a walking culture because people live in these small block apartments. So often I just go meet with friends and we walk in the park, and that's what everyone does. If the weather's nice, they just walk to the park to walk. But the parks there are beautiful. They have done a better job than a Romanian will tell you about cultivating green spaces. They really have. And so usually, oftentimes, and I think this is, we're just coming back from it, but during COVID, even in the dead of winter, you want to hang out, you know, you went and met at the park and walked. But that's part of the culture anyway. Any time to be outside, either in the city or out of the city, I do a lot of. And then there's church activities. The International Church has been a great community.
So latitudinally, where are you in relation to where we are?
So I'm a little further north, it's actually like only like 3 degrees.
Like Toronto.
So it's, but the seasons are very similar because Bucharest is very flat. It's the same, I don't know the altitude, it's very low because it's so level from the Black Sea. But the seasons are almost the same. So we get some snow in the winter. If I go 2 or 3 hours north to the mountains, it's much colder. But the summer is hot, much hotter there than here right now, but it's coming here. So very humid in the summer, hot, but spring and fall lasts a little longer than here, so that's nice. But usually, I would say like 5 to 12 inches snowfall total in the winter in the city. Very similar here, like a couple of snowfalls per winter. Very, very similar climate, but a little further north, but flat, I think.
Are there other international schools in Bucharest?
There are other international schools. There are. They're in a different region of the city, and they're expensive. So generally speaking, our demographic wouldn't be able to go there. Like, I think like even the Chinese business families, like the thing about international schools, at least in Bucharest, is their tuition looks like a school here. But anyone working in Bucharest, that is not accessible for. So there are, and so we actually like play them in basketball. I know some of the other teachers. But they're in the north part of the city where you have houses and expats, and so we're in a little different region of the city and a little different demographic, and so but it is fun to talk to the other teachers, and they a lot of them do go to my church and stuff like that, so it's good to have those connections.
Yeah, speaking of the cost, I mean, so with the Ukrainian refugees that come, are they all coming basically like on scholarship?
They do come in on scholarship. The only thing we have them do is like pay a registration fee and then fees like technology and stuff, because it's not as big of a problem in secondary. I think the stakes are automatically higher, but you know, sometimes they treat elementary like free babysitting, so if something comes up or, you know, and so just to give them that ownership over it, usually charging, it's really minimal. But to require them just to pay an initial fee sort of adds to the commitment. But yes, they're on scholarship. The Romanian Christian families also, it's not as expensive for them as a business family, which I think the Averys were talking about that too. It seems a little weird to us, but there's just sort of a tiering that helps the school function. And so it's definitely, like if you compared it, it wouldn't even be on the same range as the cost of an international school for anyone. But yes, the Ukrainians are on scholarship in almost every instance. Yeah. There's a couple of exceptions I know with some of the families, but yeah, for the most part, because I don't think it's really possible otherwise. Even if they left good jobs in Ukraine, they don't have them now. But that is something I was going to come back to that they had mentioned. I think part of now the response to Ukraine is trickier because it's like this is now the case for the long haul, and so these short-term emergency support services aren't helpful anymore. Like the first 6 months they could ride, they just had to show their Ukrainian ID, they could get on the metro for free, on the bus for free. They had housing, you know, the government was even paying landlords to house Ukrainians. And they have had to kind of wean that off just because it isn't practical to help at that level. And so I think there is some Ukrainian mentality, like we are much poorer than some of these people have come from, and yet we're pouring government money into them. So it is much more complex now. But I also think they've done a reasonable job. Like there's still support structures in place. For example, if they've learned Romanian or English and gotten any sort of job, they do still get all the government support for housing. They just have to be taking a little bit of ownership themselves. So the needs are still there, but they've drastically shifted. It's not, you know, there's no longer like a gaping wound, but now we have the scars and the ongoing support. And because, especially if they're in Bucharest, if they have even learned a little bit of English, you can get by and get a job usually. So, So yes, I forgot the question now, but there you go.
Do you guys do service projects out in the community?
We do. So there's the students are required to do service individual service projects. So we have a fair, and actually that is something that has been interesting too. Now that we have Ukrainian and Russian speakers, we did take a group last year to somewhere that was working with young Ukrainian moms that had come over without their husbands. So the more languages we speak in our group, the more groups we can serve. So we do have. We have full service days where the secondary students go in the spring and fall, and we also have individual hours required of them that we help them get connected with organizations. And then Christmas, I didn't put all the pictures either, but we've gone to like some of the group homes where there's a lot of kind of like foster care, but no, they're just group homes with teenagers that we go and make connections with. And connecting to our neighbors, we know the neighbors, we built it up. They really like it when we come for Christmas. They always know, they always go and get gifts for us. They pull out all of the chocolate. Well, speaking of which, let me pass this around. So I have Romanian chocolate, and if you want, so I think the flavor's good, but the texture's weird. It's not gonna be what you expect. But this is actually not, it's, you know, so much of what's in Romania is like German or French. It's actually Romanian. It's all Romanian in the package. And then these candies, they may not be Romanian. If other Eastern Europe, no, there's only Romanian on the package, but they are like less sweet versions of Starburst. So there's like a chewy fruit candy and chocolate if you want to taste any of that or just pass it around. There's a little Romanian treat as we wrap up.
Next week, every child will be up here for these.
So business owners around your school kind of accept y'all? Or
yeah, I think most of them, like, I think, yeah, it's, I don't think we're that bad of a neighbor. I think most of them are either intrigued or we've sort of built up the relationship. Yeah. So... yes.
Sarah, I think I heard you say there are, I know you said Russian speaking, but there are Russian students?
There's only one Russian family this past year. The year before we had more, and actually a lot of them left when everything started.
That's what I was curious about.
A lot of them left. We do just have one family, which thankfully, I think, minimized potential conflict. I don't know that would have necessarily been, you know, but you kind of want to let students have their say and say what they believe, and so it was just easier to have less of that potential as we got more and more Ukrainian. So yes, we do have both, but it didn't really, one time it was an issue because an elementary teacher lets his students, each week they change a bulletin board in the hallway to any news headlines they found important, and they had printed some maps. And the Russian family came and said, that map is not accurate. That's not what's happening in Ukraine. And so that was sensitive. Because they're, you know, and so thankfully there's not too much of. But as far as I know, that was the only really big incident. So, yeah. So
how do we pray? What do we pray? You got specific students you want us to pray for, or just the whole gamut?
Specific students, I can put an email list. I've been trying to do some specific faces on those. But yes, if you can just pray for the students, because being a teenager is hard anyway, and it's hard world of social media, and it's hard. All of these students have so many different identities already, you know, trying to, their home cultures, living as third culture kids. Living as third culture kids, I think, is hard, and it'll be here if you want to. So pray for here. Michael, pass this by. And just pray, I think, for wisdom. I always just ask for prayer for wisdom and unity among the teachers, because I feel like we have so many different backgrounds. The potential's always there for conflict, but I think God has also been gracious, and it's really great staff. So,
so you have candy. Do you have McDonald's?
We do have McDonald's. Okay. Starbucks. Okay. Since I've been there, we also have Burger King, which I don't eat at this place.
Well, yeah.
But Burger King, Popeyes, I think we have. Just got. That was a big deal, apparently.
What is your favorite traditional Romanian food?
So
dish?
I really like cabbage, and so they have a lot of cabbage, and so they're really
fancy, nice meal is sarmale, which is their version of cabbage rolls, where you take a pickled cabbage leaf with pork and a little bit of beef inside, and you cook it really low and slow for a long time in the oven with like a tomato sauce. And they serve it with like a polenta, corn, coarsely ground cornmeal. But I love the cabbage rolls. They're really good. Really good. And they have a lot of cabbage salads with dill and vinegar. They're really, I like their cabbage salads a lot. All of their things with cabbage. You can go to the farmer's market, you know, and the cabbage is just piled on the table. So, yes.
So have you had the same living arrangements and the same roommate?
I haven't. So my first 2 years I had the same roommate. And then I had two roommates my first year, and one only stayed for a year in Bucharest. And then, so basically I've had three different roommates who have now left Bucharest. My friend from El Salvador was my roommate my third year there. And then I had a Romanian roommate. And then... I still go visit the El Salvadoran friend in the mountains. This past year, I didn't have roommates, but it ended up being nice because I did have Ukrainians stay with me. There was a girl from the UK who speaks Russian and came and worked with the refugees, and she stayed with me for probably about 3 months. And then after that, I had some friends come and stay, you know, when they visited. So this past year was actually nice to have the space to host. So I did more of that this past year. Then when my people came from the mountains and needed a place to stay. And actually, when I left, I had a group staying in my apartment who were coming to work with a Bible school at the school for the summer. So it's been nice to actually have the space to host. So if there is a new teacher that needs a place, I'd have a roommate again. I like both. I like having a roommate, but it's also nice to have space to host and then have introvert time too. So both have been nice. I've had both experiences just depending on the year and who... leave the place. So, way more information than you needed. I know, I can't really, cannot believe it's been 5 years either, actually. 4 years, because it would have gone fast anyway. But
let's pray for Kyra and pray as you feel led, and now we'll close it down.
Father, thank you so much for Kyra's heart to just go and into the world and teach others and share your love with them. We just pray that you'll be with all her students that she works with and strengthen them for the year ahead, and just bless her time with them as she works with them. And we just thank you that we have the opportunity to pray for them and support them. May the Jesus bless them for this.
Father, please keep her safe in her travels.
Thank you, God, for the reminder that you are at work all over, in all different parts of society and places in the world, and that you care about all of us. You're interested in what's happening, and that you're present there. And we just ask you to continue to provide for Kyra everything that she needs to continue being there, and thank you for the students that you'll bring into her realm this year. We just ask you to fill her with wisdom and insight to give to each student what it is you want to give them.
Father, I pray that you would strengthen the relationships between the administrators and the teachers, and the teachers within the teachers, and the administrators with the other administrators, that they would have a real joy in the unity, and that they would see the kids' needs and work together to meet those needs. But I do pray that you would bind them together, make them as one, so that the school can be strong as it proclaims your name. That there wouldn't be any kind of kind of stepping out beyond the boundaries, but people united, and that the kids would see that Christians work together, and get along together, and love each other. So I just pray, Father, that the adults at the school would be like-minded and following your directives for what you have for this particular school and this particular place.
Well, we thank you that the school has adapted well to all the changes over the years, its influx of Ukrainian students, how they've been able to pivot and provide and do what they needed to do. I pray that you continue to give them that ability, that flexibility, that you continue to give them that vision for how they can serve in whatever situation you put them in, that I'm sure they spend a good bit of time on their knees trying to discern how you would have them handle certain situations. And I just pray that we continue, that we would flourish as a school, make a real impact not just on the surrounding area, but of course in the whole world, since they are an international school, that you would help them as they continue in this venture.
Let's pray that as power pours so much into others, into students and staff, I just pray you will continue to surround her with those that can minister to her, Lord, friendships, and if the roommate is in your plan, the ability to host this congregation, Lord, so the church is involved in, and I just pray that you will surround her with people to pray for her and uplift her and be there for her and support her in any ways that she needs.
Lord, we thank you that the school is unabashedly Christian. It deals with your truth. We ask that your spirit will reveal Jesus to everyone. To each student and to their parents. And they would see and feel and experience your purpose. I wonder that your spirit move around them.
Will we pray for tender hearts of the students, Lord, that they would hear your word and they would respond, and that they would just know the joy of a life lived for the Lord.
Lord, thank you so much that you have a church universal. You have your people all over this globe. People who took the Great Commission seriously to go out and evangelize all nations. And I thank you that there's just a glimpse of this here at Bucharest Christian Academy. I pray, Lord, that we would never be myopic, that we would always be looking to see what you're doing all over the globe, Lord. And just appreciate the rich diversity of the kingdom of God. Just be thrilled, Lord, at what you're doing all over. And thank you for the mission emphasis of this church, the very many different kinds of missionaries we support, just the wonderful reports we've been getting this month of how you're moving in so many parts of the world. And I do pray that we would be faithful to not just give support without thinking, Lord, but to learn of these various missionaries and what their needs are and how we can help and encourage and write letters and emails and pray for them and keep up to date with them. It's a big venture, Lord, but help us to persevere in the effort, and may it make us more sensitive to all the people right around us in our own neighborhood, Lord, people who aren't really just like us, but people who either need you or people who already love you and want to worship with us, Lord. Help us in this, we pray. Thank you so much for this good day. Thank you for all your many blessings. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you. Really? Well, the doctors that listen to, there's a couple of them. They say sour cuts are one of these things you put in your body. My mom's mom, I grew up eating cabbages. My mom didn't make them, my grandmother. Oh, I really don't know. I mean, obviously, somewhere in Europe. They were actually Irish people, but anyway, she all the time.